Such a wonderful blessing to be here at Little Union Church tonight, and so thankful for the good humble prayer that was prayed by Brother Mike and the wonderful message that's been preached to us. And we've been looking forward to coming here for a while. We've felt the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in a special way here in this place. Great blessing to share the stand with Brother David. The first time we met him was at Bethlehem Church in Bay Springs, Mississippi, many years ago. And they had just adopted Brother John Anthony. And he showed a picture to me and my wife of him. And we too, as Brother David prayed for Brother John Anthony, we have prayed for Anna Lee all of her life, that the Lord would lead her to a godly young man. Little did we know that the picture we saw on that day, we sang a song, "Thus far the Lord has led me on. Thus far his power prolongs my days. And every evening shall make known some fresh memorials of his grace." The Lord's still leading, and the Lord's still guiding. And what a precious thing it is to see his handiwork in our lives, and how unworthy we feel that the Lord has answered our prayer in such a wondrous and a special way. We love your pastor very much and so thankful for his diligence and faithfulness to the truth and to serving the Lord Jesus and the kingdom of God. And what a great example he's been to me and my family, as well as his precious family has. And we thank the Lord for them in a special way. Sister Emily did want to be here very badly, and she is getting her pick line out tomorrow. She thought of a few ways that she may would still be able to come, but it seemed in the end that it was best for her to get that removed. The doctors had already given his orders, and there was not much way out of it. But she very much wanted to be here and loves you all very much. She appreciated the card and the cares and the notes and the concern so much, and so much appreciated your prayers. Please pray. As we stand before you, I definitely need it. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 8. And I hope and trust that the Lord will bless this message to fit in well with some of the things that Brother David was so ably preaching unto us. In Acts chapter 8, we see some amazing things that have happened. Beginning in verse 5, it said, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. There was great joy in that city." What a sight that must have been for Philip to be blessed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to see people healed and to see people with one accord embracing the good news of Jesus Christ. He had preached to multitudes. What a great blessing that was. Here later in this same chapter, the Lord in verse 26 is going to lead him to do something that maybe from a human carnal perspective wouldn't make sense. But because the Lord said it, Philip did it. Verse 26, it said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Here, Philip had just been blessed to preach to multitudes who had received the gospel gladly, and they'd rejoiced in it. And now the Lord is saying, go to the desert. You know, Brother Chris, if he would have invited me to come, and if I'd have said, so I'm supposed to come to Little Union Church, and he said, no, you're not supposed to come to Little Union Church, but you're going to come to this field out in the middle of nowhere, I'd have probably been asking, well, is anybody going to be there? We don't expect to go to the desert. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord does not always lead us to do things that always make sense to us. I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus told Peter to do in Luke chapter 5. The Lord Jesus had just been preaching the gospel while he was sitting in a boat. And he tells Peter, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. That is, to catch a multitude of fishes. Peter responds and said, Lord, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Peter said, I use, Lord, all of my knowledge as a professional fisherman. I used all the very best techniques I could all night long. I went to the very best places. I used the best knowledge and the best skill I've acquired in many years of being a professional fisherman to try to catch fish all night. And I've caught nothing. What the Lord Jesus was asking Peter to do, or telling Peter to do, made no sense to him from a human carnal perspective. But Peter did it. He basically says, Lord, even though what you're telling me to do makes no sense to me, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. You know what? He let down the net and he brought in such a multitude of fishes that his boat began to sink. And he called his partner's boat over to him and their boat began to sink. And both boats were sinking at the abundance of the blessing of the mass of fishes that they had caught by the word of the Lord Jesus. Jesus' way is always the best way, whether it makes sense to us or not. Here the Lord's leading Philip to go into a desert place. He had been blessed to preach to the multitudes, but now the Lord says, you go into a desert place, you go to Gaza. He didn't know anything else. But he was obedient to what the Lord instructed him to do. The Lord spoke to him on this occasion, at this moment, by an angel of the Lord. He's going to speak to him in different ways as we go throughout this account. And the Lord sometimes speaks to us in different ways and leads our hearts in different ways. And I would to God we'd always be responsive to what the Lord is leading us to do. Said, and Philip, and he arose and went. He didn't say, Lord, this doesn't make sense. He didn't say, Lord, what about this other way? We might could do this. He arose and went. He was obedient to what God Almighty was telling him to do. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Here's a man of great authority. Here's a man that's very trusted. You don't put the whole treasure of a country in one man's hand without him being very trusted. We had a lady in our office, our administrative manager. She's worked at the U.S. probation office since 1985. She was just a teenager when she began working there. Every chief we've ever had has trusted her immensely. She retired last December, and the position that she held, she actually had her hand on every single penny in the budget of the United States Probation Office for our district. And I knew when we selected someone to take her place, it had to be somebody that we trusted immensely. And I really didn't want to hire anybody off the street for that position. So we promoted a lady from within that we had grown to know over the last few years and to trust her, because we knew she would be handling all the funds of our office. Here's a man that's a man of authority. He's a trusted man that was trusted with the charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, which is the New Testament way of saying Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, before the Lord had sent an angel to speak unto Philip, now the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip. We see the Lord leading Philip in the way he wants him to go. The Lord still does that today. We sing another song, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Amen. He still does that today in 2021. He still leads his dear children along. As we seek him, as we pray to him, as we read his word, he still leads us today. Amen. Just like he was leading Philip. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now I'm going to tell you, that's another thing that would defy human carnal reasoning. You don't just go up to someone of great authority, especially someone who has all the treasure of Ethiopia. I'm reminded when I have a brother that's now United States Deputy Marshal. He used to work for United States Secret Service. And there came a time where President George W. Bush came to Jackson, Mississippi. My brother's job was to do counter surveillance. That means he was to stay just far enough from the president's motorcade so that he could try to watch for anyone that may be trying to surveil the president to help keep him safe. When the president came to town, the state and local law enforcement would do a lot of perimeter security. And there was a lot of stress and tension with that because nobody wanted the President of the United States to get hurt while they were in Jackson, Mississippi. And so they were pretty keyed up. The motorcade had just started to move from where the President had been speaking, and my brother told me, he said, I got a little bit closer to the motorcade than I normally would, but I was afraid because the way the traffic was moving, if I didn't do that, I would have gotten separated too far from the President's motorcade. Well, he was in an unmarked SUV in plain clothes, so the Mississippi Highway Patrol didn't know who he was. And there was a captain there that instructed two state troopers to go and check out my brother's vehicle. By check out, they interpreted that to conduct a felony car stop. So as my brother's there, they be in ahead of my brother's vehicle and come out with guns blazing and stick them in the face of my brother, who very carefully reaches for his credentials and says, Secret Service, Secret Service. Then they look and see his partner that's in the vehicle, which was a highway patrol investigator that they knew, and they, very embarrassed, left quickly. Later, as a U.S. probation officer, I got a case from the Mississippi Highway Patrol, and I was talking to a captain, and I told him that story. He began to look a little embarrassed and said, kind of put his head down, and I said, what's wrong? He said, I was the captain that gave the order that caused them to stick the gun in your brother's face. And I said, I don't hold any offense. It's okay. But the point of that is you just don't get too close to a person of importance without possibly bad things happening. The Lord is telling Philip, you just go up and you join yourself to this treasure of all of Ethiopia. You just go up there to his chariot. But again, the Lord's way is always the best way. And he goes and he, even though it wouldn't have made sense to him, he joins himself to that chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. He runs to do what the Lord's told him to do. Sometimes I'm a little sluggish. What about you? Sometimes if it's something I might not be too sure about in my carnal understanding, I might drag my feet a little while. Philip didn't. He ran, which would have further increased his danger as he's running to the treasurer of all of Ethiopia's chariot. But the Lord was in the matter. Amen. And everything was going to be okay. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? I have to admire this Ethiopian. Brother David talked to us about how our culture wants to push the Lord and our beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ in the corner. What's this man doing? He's not reading to himself. He's reading out loud so that others can hear. He's reading the word of Almighty God. And he's not ashamed. I love what the Apostle Paul says when he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. May Mark Qualls never ever be ashamed of the word of God or the testimony or the gospel of the Lord Jesus. May we never be ashamed. He's reading it out loud. He doesn't care who hears it. Philip says, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Look at the humility of this treasurer of Ethiopia. You know, sometimes people in positions of power don't like to admit that they don't know something. Have y'all ever noticed that? He quickly says, I need help. How can I understand what I'm reading except some man would guide me? One of the things I tell new probation officers as they begin to work for U.S. probation is don't be afraid to ask questions. You're never going to learn anything if you don't ask for help. We all need help. We need the help of the Lord every single day. We also need each other's help. We shouldn't be afraid to ask for it. He asked for Philip's help. He said, how can I understand it except some man guide me? So thankful for my fellow ministers, numerous here tonight, that I love you all very much. And what a blessing that we can call on one another for help. And say, what does this mean? Or I've got this situation and I don't know what to do. Have you handled something like this before? What do you think this scripture means? I don't understand it. What a blessing to be able to ask for help. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. What? You don't know this man? This man just came out of nowhere and ran up to your chariot. What are you doing? The Lord was in the matter. Yeah. And this man knew this guy, Philip, he was okay. And he said, come sit with me. You know, the Lord's able to do things exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or we could think.
Amen.
And he knows somehow in the recesses of his heart, the Lord sent this man to me.
Amen.
Come on up into the chariot. They read the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53, a chapter all about the Lord Jesus Christ and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary and all that that accomplished for us and for this Ethiopian eunuch. That's where he's reading. The Lord's in the matter. He asked Philip a question. He said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? That's a good question, isn't it? Is Isaiah talking about himself? Or is he talking about some other man? And the answer comes, and Philip opened his mouth. You know, I would to God that I'd always know when my mouth needs to be closed.
Amen.
And when it needs to be opened. I'm going to tell you, here's a time where this sweet minister of the gospel, it's time to open his mouth and to preach Jesus, and he does it in a wondrous and a miraculous way. May God always show us when we need to keep our mouth closed and when we need to open it to the honor and glory and praise of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. Said, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I'm reminded that this Bible is a book about the Lord Jesus Christ, not beginning in Matthew chapter 1. But beginning in Genesis chapter 1, all this Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He began at that same scripture, a scripture in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He began in that same scripture and he preached Jesus.
Amen.
I want to go and look at those verses that he's quoting. There in Isaiah chapter 53. Such sweet verses. He quotes them there in verse 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. The Lord Jesus was falsely accused. He would be the one that John the Baptist would declare, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But he was falsely accused by those Roman authorities that Brother David was preaching about. What does a person that's falsely accused usually do? Even as a child, what do we do? If you're here this tonight and you've got siblings, and one of your brothers or one of your sisters did something, but mama thought you did it, what's the first thing you said? Whoa, it wasn't me. Mike did that. Steve did that. It wasn't me. When we're falsely accused, men are generally quick to defend themselves. Not the Lord Jesus. He was falsely accused, but like a lamb before his shear is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. He went to the cross to freely lay down his life, not to protest it. You know, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as those soldiers of the high priest came, Peter would take out the sword and he chopped off an ear of the servant of the high priest. I think he was aiming for his head and missed and got his ear. You remember what Jesus said? He said, "Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it?"
Amen.
What was that cup? It was the cup of the wrath of Almighty God that my sins deserved and that your sins deserved. Jesus drank that bitter cup even down to the dregs. He goes on and said, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Listen, little child of God, it was humiliating for the Lord Jesus Christ to take all my sins and all your sins upon him. It was humiliated, and he endured that shame on the cross. Hebrews 12 tells us, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. How much shame would any of us feel here tonight just to come and confess just a few of the most rotten sins we've ever committed? How much shame would we feel before our brethren and sisters in Christ? The Lord Jesus took every single sin of every single one of the elect family of God upon himself on the cross of Calvary. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. It's interesting how Isaiah reads, and both as you compare Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, it's not that they're ever contradictory. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. But sometimes we get just a little bit more information. Verse 8 of Isaiah 53 said, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Here in Acts it said, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. You see, that judgment came to an end because of what Jesus did on the cross. You know, there's that place where Jesus is drinking that cup of the wrath of Almighty God, and he's enduring, it's hard for me to imagine, but he's enduring the equivalent of an eternity in a burning fiery hell for all the elect family of God in 6 hours upon the cross of Calvary. That's hard for me to imagine and for me to fathom, but that's what he did. But the judgment was taken away. Why? We sing that song, "It is finished." And the Lord Jesus at one point on the cross of Calvary would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He would cry unto the Father as he endured the punishment of all the elect family of God. But there comes that time when he said, it's finished. And the judgment comes to an end. The fiery indignation of God the Father has come to an end. And it's enough. Jesus said, it's finished. Then the next thing he says is, Father. For a little while he just said, my God. Didn't call him Father anymore. But then again he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What happened? That judgment was taken away. That judgment was complete. You know, there's some belief systems where people are very worried at the end of time that we're going to appear before the judgment seat of God and all of our sins are going to be brought before us. We'll have to wonder if the good works we might have done outweigh the bad works. And there's a lot of folks very afraid of that judgment. But I'll tell you, for the elect family of God, the judgment of God for our sins already took place upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and it's over for the children of God. And the judgment we'll have at the end of time will be the sweet voice of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords saying, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We have that sweet gospel story that because of what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary, our sins are washed in his own precious blood, and our sins have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west, never ever to be remembered again. They're gone. They ain't never coming up. They're forgotten. Isn't it disturbing to you when maybe somebody that knew you as a child constantly brings up the bad things you did that they remember? You know the Lord's not going to do that. Amen. Because those sins are washed in his own precious blood. And here Philip preaches unto this Ethiopian eunuch out of these verses. And I believe he preached in this way, and this Ethiopian eunuch was made to know, yes, he's a sinner, but Jesus Christ would come, had come, and had suffered and bled and died for his sins on the cross of Calvary. And in the Lord Jesus' humiliation, this Ethiopian's eunuch sins were taken away. His judgment was over because Jesus suffered his judgment. And Jesus had died on the cross for his sins. He heard the sweet gospel of his salvation. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He said, "I've heard the good news of my salvation. I've heard that Jesus washed my sins in his own precious blood. I've heard of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that heaven and the mount of glory will be my home one day. I want to be baptized in his name. Here's water. What doth hinder me?" That's a good question for every born-again child of God that has felt that burden in their heart to be united with the church and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but have not done it. What doth hinder you? What doth hinder you? There's a sweet young brother back at Providence. He's told me how badly he wants to join the church. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The thought of coming up in front of the church just scares him to death. And I said, "You're coming up to me. You know I love you." And I believe the Lord will give him the courage and strength. There's a lot of different things that can hinder the Lord's people. But here this Ethiopian eunuch says, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." You know, joining the church and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus is not a half-hearted proposition. It's a wholehearted proposition. We don't come and join the church half-heartedly. We come and join the church wholeheartedly. We come and get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus with our whole heart, saying, "Lord, I'm going to love you with all my heart, all my strength, all my soul, and all my mind." We're making a promise when we join the church. Much like a promise a husband and wife makes to each other at the marriage ceremony. That is, we'll be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ every single day that we live. That we'll deny ourselves and take up our cross. We can't take up his. He's the only one that could take up his cross. But we've got a cross to take up. We deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after him. With all that we have, with all that we are. He said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't think he said that half-heartedly. I believe he said that with the full assurance that the Lord Jesus had died on the cross for his sins. And he said that with the full assurance that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. That chariot was one prone to keep moving. That chariot stopped, danger could await. That chariot stopped, someone could have tried to kidnap the treasurer of the entire country and to use him for ransom. That chariot's tendency was to keep moving. But there was something so important. He said the chariot needs to stand still. I would to God that the people of God, that myself, would know when it's time for the chariot to stand still. The psalmist would say, be still and know that I'm God. We live in a fast-paced world. But I'll tell you, there's times that the children of God need for the chariot to stand still. What a blessing are these meetings that we've missed so much. Because for a little while, the chariot stands still. They went down both into the water. This wasn't a sprinkling. This wasn't going to be a pouring. They went down into the water. When Jesus was baptized, it said he came up out of the water. Not a sprinkling, not a pouring. There was much water here. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, very clearly a baptism by immersion, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Boy, this man that the Lord sent unto him out of nowhere, sent him down to the desert to preach the good news to one little sinner. God only not only cares about the multitudes of sheep, he cares about the one little sheep. Love what it says in Luke 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness till he go and find the one that's lost? When he findeth it, he lay it on his shoulders rejoicing and says, rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. We have a shepherd that not only cares about the whole flock of sheep, he cares about each individual sheep. He cares about you individually. And he sends Philip, one of his ministers, away from the multitudes to preach to one man from another country and to preach unto him the good news of his salvation. And now all of a sudden this man who, this Ethiopian eunuch has had such a sweet experience with, he's caught away. He's gone. We might would expect the next part of this verse to see in the Ethiopian eunuch was despondent or saddened that Philip had been caught away. But that's not what it says. Said he went, the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. It wasn't about Philip. It wasn't about the preacher. It was about Jesus. I'm going to tell you, this Ethiopian eunuch had heard the good news of all that the Lord Jesus had done for him. He left that place being a baptized believer, a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we don't read more about him,
I believe he went back to his own country and faithfully followed the Lord Jesus all the rest of his life. He had heard the good news of his salvation. He had heard what Jesus had done. And he had the sweet assurance that one sweet day, heaven and immortal glory would be his home. He'd go to a place with no sickness, no sorrow, no pain or death, for the former things have passed away. He went on his way rejoicing. You think this Ethiopian eunuch had any trouble in his life? I guarantee you, if he had all the treasury of Ethiopia, he had problems. There were likely problems in the kingdom. He likely had troubles. He wasn't thinking about those then, because he had something to rejoice in. I'll tell you, little child of God, no matter what's going on in our world tonight, we've got something to rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ. Let the chariot stand still and us focus for a little while on our Lord, our Savior, our Master and our Redeemer, who's done so much for us. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.